Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This is the show about personal experiences and exploring all the mainstream denied experiences that we have and speak about in safe spaces. So everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to share yours with many of us who have had these experiences. We will explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. And although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences that do not involve a medium. Your co-hosts for this Signs of Life radio show are Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center. Please get your pencils ready, your pen, for the call-in number. For United States callers, 1-888-627-6008. And for outside North America, 1-323-744-4831. And we invite you to call in and make this show special for all of the listeners. So hello, Janet. Hello, Betty.
Hello, Kim and Janet.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm doing great.
Yes, doing great.
How are you? Good.
Feeling well?
Yes, I am. I'm doing good.
Oh, that's nice. It seemed like this month has passed so fast. It seemed like just a couple of weeks ago we were having a conversation, and now all of a sudden, here it is again.
We are back.
The summertime weather for us here in the States.
Yes, it's 99 here in Southern California.
Ooh. Yeah, that's warm. Yeah, I can't believe how fast the whole first half of the year went. I can't believe that where we are already. It's crazy.
It's insane.
So, Janet, what about your meditation for tonight?
Well, I came up, it's funny that what came through is just a whole different, you know, every month is different, but it was interesting because, and if I see a caller come up, I will stop, you know, but I guess I got thinking about how there's so many unbelievable connections that we've been doing this for years now, and how many people that fall in with these experiences that do, you know, defy mainstream thinking. And it's kind of like these magical moments we all get to experience every month. And, you know, with all the callers that call in, I guess I'm just amazed that each and every story, the way it is shared and how it is shared, and, you know, the support that I know, like when the listeners hear it, the way they see the uniqueness of it and the individual callers. And it's kind of interesting that, It brings such a deep connection to everyone. And I mean, I was thinking, you know, that sometimes the stories might really, really resonate. And maybe sometimes they even might trigger someone who's listening because of, you know, for whatever reason or for something going on in their life. But it also opens us up to kind of having the safe space tonight and having the space, you know, that we have, you know, because of Forever Family Foundation and because of what they allow and what they share with everybody. And that we all have a personal story to share. And I guess I get thinking about the connection that everybody, you know, on this planet and the connection they have and how they can all be so different, but they also are also, you know, kind of the same in a way. You know, we're all connecting to a loved one on the other side. And, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, what are they sharing with us that can help someone else, or what does it do that it triggers somebody else to tell their story? And so I love it when somebody calls in and does that, you know, and we have to remember that it's hard work from the other side. I kept hearing that in my head that, you know, for them to get through, of course they want to get through. Of course we want to connect with them, but it still can be difficult for them to try to get through if we're not paying attention. And so, you know, of course, I always say that to pay attention. And so it's kind of a reminder that, you know, when we get any kind of sign, whether, you know, it's a coin or a cardinal, a stoplight, the sky, you know, whatever it may be, a balloon, you know, they're sending something through in a way that we can recognize, you know, individually. And, you know, yes, everybody says, oh, well, you know, the sky does this, or I see a bird and I see that. And it's like, but when it happens at the right moment and at the right time, it's like, we know, we just know, you know? And I think that it's important that we make an intention that we want to connect with our loved ones, but I also feel like we also have to give them space and time to allow them to come through how they wish to come through. So mm-hmm. when every individual story is coming through from someone, and, you know, maybe I've heard of something like it, you know, that story before, or maybe I've never heard of that story before. It doesn't matter, because it's each individual person's story. And I think it's really cool when someone calls in to share, because then we all get to experience that story, like, again with them. And that's why when I repeat a story or I tell a story, it's kind of to remind myself it's not just a story. It's an event that took place, and it's something very personal and something to remind me to remember that.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you totally. And, you know, in, for instance, with the Celtic culture, they knew that there were certain places on the earth that had a frequency which allowed that communication with the other side to come through more clearly. And they were usually places where there was water falling, or caves. And they symbolized that experience with the maidens at the wells, that there was, when they would go there, they would receive, or they would be in contact with this wonderful creative energy from the invisible world. And they valued that and valued those places. And so when they went there, they planned to give space, you know, and time to the other side. And they totally believed that it would come through. And I do think there is something true about the frequency in sacred places where people have meditated for years and decades. Mm-hmm. And it creates a certain energy, a certain frequency, I think, which makes it easier. But if we can't go to those sacred places, every place is sacred. So if we open ourselves up, as you say, and give time and space for them to come through, I think it's difficult for them to come through because of us. You know, we mm-hmm. we're very much involved in this world. And they do come through, though, usually very often in a crisis.
Right. Well, and, go on, Patty, go ahead.
Oh, no. Carry on.
I was just going to say, well, and even like Forever Family Foundation, that's kind of like the sacred space. You know, people go to it, they're drawn to it, which they are. People are drawn to it all the time, to go to the conferences or, you know, the different things, and to go to the website or read or whatever. And it's really cool, because it's kind of like that is sort of the sacred space. And all these the shows kind of branch off of that, you know, and I think that's really cool to put it in kind of a, you know, a place, because it does, it branches off into each show each week, and it goes in different directions, but then it kind of all brings it back too, to the whole.
Yes. And Forever Family is kind of interesting, because everyone who goes is already in a place and a space waiting for communication from the other side.
Yeah.
And I think how incredible it is that Bob and Fran started this organization. And Bob didn't think there was anything on the other side. And anyone who thought about it was a little peculiar. In fact, totally had gone around the bend, so to speak. And then when Bailey, their daughter, passed, he had so many experiences. And he knew then, and he continued to find out over and over again. So that's an example of a crisis that really brought Fran and Bob into a highly focused, high frequency energy space. And they have created out of that energy Forever Family and made a high frequency place for every convention, really.
That's true.
Yeah, it's can be very grateful for that.
Well, yeah, like, and I mean, it's I loved how you said it too, Betty, that he really didn't, you know, I don't think at the beginning believe in anything like this. And then it was just like things were happening. It's kind of like you can't, you might question it, but you can't not believe in a way, because things are, you know, it's a personal experience and you're having it and you know something else is going on. And even if you can't, you know, say it with words, it's, you know, it's felt. And so that makes a difference too.
Yes. And I think the more we experience, I mean, we do grow in this. I mean, I spent my life, adult life, searching for answers and teaching symbolic language. And I wanted more than anything to be in contact with the other world. And I was through my dreams, but it wasn't until our son passed that the door just opened up. But still, it took time. And I remember my husband, after our son passed, had a vision in which he was sitting on a mountain and looking out and at the ocean. And the ocean merged with the sky. And it was like infinite. It was infinity, you're thinking. And then he heard our son say to him, "Dad, even that is not the limit." And it was so powerful to hear that, that there are no limits to our creativity. But I, at that point, I still had kinks, you might say, to work out. Uh-huh. And the first thing that came to my mind were at least a dozen different restrictions and limits, because I still was caught in the old story. No matter how much I was looking for something more, I was caught in the old story of limitations. But gradually, through my experiences, I realized there are no limits to our creativity, except those that we construct. If we believe in a limit, that's our limit. But it took me time. I was kind of like Bob, you know, over time, he just had so many experiences that he was changed forever. And that was the case with me. I look back at that and I think, I really believe that. Mm. I was really caught in that limitation.
Or when you had one, you knew what you experienced, you were out of it, and then you ripped it up. You tore it apart. You wanted some more proof here. What's this?
That left brain was so trained for kind of rational truth that no matter what I experienced, when I was in the vision, I knew this is truth. Mm-hmm. And then when I was no longer in it, my left brain would jump in there, both feet, and try to tear it up, rip it up. This can't be true. It was too fantastic to be true. Yeah. And give me some kind of outward proof. But for the visionary and the mystic, the experience is the truth. And I finally came to realize that experience, when you experience it, you know it. And I had to sort of train the left brain and create a new kind of partnership with it. That, wait a minute, you know, I realize, and I'm partly responsible as well as my culture, we have trained you to believe in nothing and to want only a certain kind of proof. But let's try to work with this. Let's work together. Let's try to look at these experiences, and you kind of keep quiet while I'm experiencing it. And then let's feel it and think about it together. And it took a year or two for me to really kind of develop a loving, creative working.
It's nice.
Marriage between the left and right brain.
What's a new and language, a new way of doing business in the world.
It is, so to speak. It is totally. And I think many of us have been, well, I know we have, in Western culture, we've been so trained with the left brain, which has such limits. You know, it can do incredible work. That is its nature to do, of analyzing, taking apart, putting back together. But it cannot see context. It has no ability to understand meaning or purpose, and it can't feel or love. So our culture is really restricted our education to the left brain, and we are now trying to break free, and we will have to create.
At a crossroads.
We are at a crossroads.
We're getting a lot of information, a lot of people sharing their experiences and writing about them. Making movies about them. Absolutely. The word is out now. So
yes, and everyone who has an experience strengthens the field. Mm. You know, it's may think that you're alone, but we are not alone. When you go back to what you were talking about, Janet, is that when we love, that's the highest frequency there is in the universe. And the beautiful thing about that frequency is that it connects everybody who is loving. We are connected when we love. And the Egyptians taught us that we can only create out of love if we do not want to destroy the world. If we cannot create out of love, we can destroy the whole world. And I think we see that trying to happen.
Mm-hmm. And it's the longing and the love in the midst of loss and grief and sorrow and pain that keeps you open and reaching open. And looking.
Yes.
Being open for what may come. And then, like you've said many a time, even if you don't hold it, completely understand it, you can hold it in consciousness and just pay attention, sit with it.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sometimes we understand it years later. But yes, it is interesting that out of grief, out of this crisis, and certainly within my case, the greatest opening and connection to the other side came.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that in something you were saying too, Betty, about how when you would have some of these experiences and you would know they were real, and then when you'd, come out of that space and then you'd tear it apart or question it. And I'm like, I used to do that as well. And when I was growing up, one thing I started doing was writing it down, and I would date and time everything, because then if I would have another experience, I could go back and look and be like, oh, did I know I had something like that? And I would, I would start to see a little bit of a pattern. And I think that was really helpful too.
Oh, the patterns are so important. And that's what the right brain does for us. It gives us these patterns, and which helps us to understand what's going on.
Right. Well, and I think too, people, it depends if people, like, if, they just want to sit in, silence and kind of, I always use the word meditate, but they don't have to meditate, but just kind of sit and relax and try to focus on their loved ones. And, if you try something like that, or if you prefer to ask for a dream, or if you, prefer to ask for some type of sign or symbol to, let them know that they're around. And I think that a lot of times it's whatever works best for, the individual. And so you can't say you can only do it this way. You have to be open to allowing it to come through in whatever way works for them,
Yes, I think spirit will take any way it can find, to get through to us. And it's quite creative, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unlimited possibilities.
Yeah. No, well, that's yes. Yeah. Now I can say unlimited
too.
Possibilities.
That's
before
right.
I was ready to censor the universe.
Oh, yeah.
Limited.
Kim, you want to give the number out again, Kim?
Here. Hold on. I just grabbed some other piece of paper here.
Oh,
it is? Yeah. I do want to give the number. Thank you, Janet. For Inside North America, 323-744-4831. And for those listeners outside of the United States, 1-323-744-4831. So we welcome you all to join us. We have, maybe less than 40 minutes left of this program.
Lots of time.
There's plenty of time. What we were just speaking about reminded me of the ending of one of the stories I read this afternoon in prep for the call from Diane Archangel's book, Afterlife Encounters.
Mm-hmm.
These are the last few words from the gentleman who was submitting this experience. He says, "I cannot explain my encounters, nor do I expect anyone else to explain them. Consciousness itself is very ethereal and inexplicable. While some of these experiences may be the result of overactive sensory impressions, all of them cannot be. I have come to accept them as normal. Amanda, his daughter, is still very much with me, not just in my mind, but as a spiritual being outside and alongside of my own being. She is evolving, searching, and growing. The pain of grieving has been replaced with excitement about discovering other dimensions. We still cry, but for different reasons, not from loss, although it still hurts. We now cry out of joy and love for the blithe spirit that is our Amanda."
Oh, that's nice.
Now, Amanda was 20 years old, and she had some bizarre illness, he said, and it was pretty clear that she wasn't going to survive that illness. But there were numerous stories that were told in his chapter in Diane's book, and I would like to share some of them. They were pretty amazing.
So
if you want to wait, we have a caller, Kim.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Janet. Yes. Sure. Hello.
You can hear me after that.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, Al from Florida.
Well, hello there. I don't know if you remember me. I called last month. I was telling you about my channeling experience.
Yes.
And as we ended, I gave you the guide's definition of love. But during that conversation, I was asked, you know, I was telling you about the very first message I got. It was meditate, and I didn't do anything. And then the next one was meditate, and I asked why. And they answered, and I didn't have that message because I couldn't find it because it was so old. But I found it now and was wondering if you'd like to hear that.
Sure.
Yeah, so sure. Again, just, you know, the very first message I channeled was meditate. And I didn't do anything for that day. And then the next day I came back and the message again was meditate. And I just said in my mind, why? And they came back and answered me. And their answer was develop feelings, life, love, being. Meditate staring at huddled couple on beach at sunset.
Wow.
And I went and I did that. I have a picture of the couple. Obviously can't share that with you, but by the time I got back, I went back to tell them thank you. And their response was, love just is beautiful when demands are gone.
Ooh.
And so that kind of fits in, you know, what you all were just talking about with love and the frequency. And and I'd like to offer one other thing. They also summarized love for me. And was wondering if you'd like to hear that to go along with your conversation.
Sure.
They said, love ways are a curing truth and tattered way alignment and wanting of way beautiful waves of peace to border all sorrows.
Oh, wow.
Mm. See, could you just say that one more time?
Absolutely. Love ways are a curing truth and tattered way alignment and wanting of way beautiful waves of peace to border all sorrows.
Mm, beautiful. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I like, too, that when there are no demands, I think we put, that's like putting sideboards or, you know, restrictions on love. When we just let it happen or just observe.
Absolutely.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you so much. Go ahead.
If I may, there was one. So last month, after I hung up, I listened to the next caller, and she called in and she said something so beautiful. And she was asking, you know, or she was kind of musing what, you know, my guides would say. She actually mentioned my name, and she was from California, and she mentioned her daughter, how she passed away. And the beautiful thing that she said was, I'd like to know where I am in my current life, something I'm paraphrasing, so that, and figure out where she is, so when I pass, I can be with her.
Wow.
That was so tremendously beautiful. But the thing is, with all the teaching of my guides, I can actually answer her question. So I was wondering if she ever calls in, if she calls in today, can I leave my number with the producer? And if she calls, I don't know how to get in touch with her. I can help this person.
Well, I guess he can take on when you and he are on the phone. Maybe he'll stay on and talk. We don't know. We've never had that question before, but that's a very generous offer. And we thank you very much for that.
Yeah. And again, I this is a gift from the guides for me, you know, that they teach me all this stuff. So I don't charge for any of this. I never do. I never will. It's just something I'm here to serve people. So, you know.
Well, thank you so much, Al. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
you're welcome.
Really beautiful.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for taking my
call.
Thank you. Sure.
Okay.
That's very interesting. I was trying to remember the caller after Al last week.
I think it was Melanie last month.
I mean, last week. Yeah, it seems like last week.
I think it was it Melanie, Janet?
I think so. I think it was Melanie.
Because I think that, you know, that we, I mean, I'm just thinking that I don't think we have to worry about reconnecting on the other side. Love connects us. I think the fact that we love is the way that we are connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we can be disconnected. And we do not have to worry about finding each other on the other side. We are present mm-hmm. with each other.
Well, she might have been right in the first instance, like, where am I?
Oh, yes,
so she can
true.
Find me and I can find her. But I think to find out where we are in our own place, and that will help also to direct us, maybe. What do you think,
really,
Janet?
To know that.
I want to add something onto this, too, because when you were saying that, like, where are we and, you know, where am I? And it made me think of a time when, gosh, it was many years ago where I was having a kind of a mediumistic awakening in one sense, where I was reading, and I have this in my book, where I was reading, and all of a sudden I could feel people gathering around. And it just, like, my head just popped up, almost like I was looking for them. I could feel them, but I couldn't see them. And it was like I could say, you know, I heard them, like, it's almost time, we're getting ready, she's almost here, or he's almost here. And they were going on and on. And I just was like, oh my gosh, you know, I know someone's going to pass. And I knew it was going to happen. And they were letting me know that they were gathering together, you know, all the friends, the family, the loved ones, waiting for someone to come. They were there for them. He did not have to go anywhere to find them. He was already in the right spot, you know?
I love that. That's exactly right, I think. That feels so beautiful, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that it just, you know, that's the thing, is that you don't have to be somewhere, go somewhere. They already know. Your love is sending out, like, the lighthouse light. You know, it's like sending out this place, and you know that it's like they're gonna be there for you when it's time, and you cross. And I have so many different experiences, different, you know, people that I read that they are different. Sometimes it will be something like that. It will be something totally different, but you don't have anywhere you have to go. They are already waiting for you, and they are there. Whoever is supposed to be there will be there. And
yes,
it's not, and, you know, that's why I always say, we don't have to, you know, you can ask for them and, you know, you can be there, but they know when you're in pain, or when you're happy, or when you're sad, they feel that because they're a part of you. They feel that, and they know when to connect with you. And I don't know how many people are saying, oh, well, I was searching for so-and-so and I wasn't hearing from her. And as soon as I stopped and I just let go, and it's like, that's when it happened. And you're like, yeah, it came when it was supposed to. And I think that makes a big difference too.
Yes. At that moment is when we're open to know they're present.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I do just think that, you know, that was one of the first experiences I've had where they were gathering, and they were actually in the house with me. And I ended up, as if anybody read the book, they'll know that I made my husband take me for a drive to people's houses of my family, because I'm like, I know they're close, I know it. And I ended up, I did, you know, we did find out who it was. And the interesting thing was, is I even remember at one point said, the room was so full. It was like being in an elevator packed with people. And you know that feeling of really tight, like they're all around you? That's how it felt. And I have never, ever let that experience go, because it was so strong and it was so beautiful, because it was so, you know, surprising the way it happened. So I think that, you know, that's something to remember too, is that you don't have to go anywhere. You are where you are supposed to be. And they know that, and they will surround you, and they, you know, they already know. So
that's,
I think that's important too.
I think it is. And it's interesting because in the visionary world, whenever you think something, you're there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are having an experience or thinking about maybe a particular group of people, then they will be there because your mind determines where you're going to be, you know? And mm-hmm. I remember after Arsan Bishti passed, I thought so much of mothers and fathers whose children die at an early age or unexpected or any age. And I also was thinking about, you know, sometimes when their children have lived a very questionable life and gotten themselves in trouble and do some heinous thing and die, that how much those mothers suffer. In addition, and as I was thinking about that in meditation, it was just a few weeks after Pishti had passed, I saw, which means I felt and experienced, just so many mothers entering the room. And I was aware in the inner visionary world of their presence. Mm. So I thought of them and they were there. Oh, wow. It was such a powerful experience because they're just, you worry about everything children do. And I was thinking, you know, to lose a child is one thing, but when everything is going fine and there's no the child hasn't gotten himself into any trouble. But I thought of the ones who had perhaps murdered someone else, that the additional pain that the parents go through. And that thought filled the room with mothers mm-hmm. who were suffering not only the loss of the child, but many of them worrying about how they were going to open up on the other side, just grief of a different kind, of another kind.
Right. Well, you kind of become, you know, a new person. You know, you change your aspects. Everything changes when something, I think, like that takes place. And, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say it this way, that it causes you to grow. But I do think that that's huge, is that, you know, these experiences lead us to grow in a different way. And I think that, you know, it's kind of the one, when we say it's a blessing that has come out of a tragedy, is it changes people. And it sometimes it makes you see things in a whole new light, in a whole different way.
It does.
I think, you know, I mean, that's kind of how I feel like a lot of times it happens, or I see it around me with people who have lost a loved one. And it's like, and people are like, well, you've changed. And you're like, well, yeah, I have, you know, of course I have. And I think that, you know, that it takes us through these different doors that we didn't even know we would ever experience.
Yes. It opens the heart to different levels of compassion, because as a mother, I was receiving such compassion and support from everyone around, and at the college and at organizations out here that I was a part of, and friends, I was receiving so much support. And I was grateful that the grief and support was able to open my heart to mothers who were going through that grief, but who also were going through the grief of perhaps what their children had done, and they weren't getting that kind of support from the world around them. That's mm-hmm. a terrible grief to go through. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there are just so many levels that the heart can be opened up to, and I'm grateful. And there's so many more levels to experience, mm-hmm. but those are hard, tough experiences that people have to go through. I'm sure that those mothers went through some pretty serious mm-hmm. levels of grief.
Right.
I think that's why for our family, you know, they're helping to change the narrative. That's what, you know, all of this is trying to help people open a new door to see something differently and have support. You know, like you said, Betty, too, like if you know, you might get support, but maybe you didn't get it exactly how you needed it sometimes, you know, or you didn't know where to look, or, well, you probably did, but you're, a lot of people, they don't know what direction to go in. And I think that makes it really difficult. I think that's why, too, like with Forever Family, there's so many avenues. And I think that that's what's so great. And I think that, you know, even like with, you know, just the mediums themselves, you know, and I'm, you know, it's kind of like there's a ton of mediums that have been, you know, certified on Forever Family, and they help numerous people. And I think that it's so cool that, you know, people go to people because they feel a certain thing. You know, they're like, well, I picked that person because I just felt like they were the right fit. And it's like, and that's who you were supposed to go to. So I think that's really important, you know, in that sense, is that, you know, you can pick a page and you have a ton of books to pick from with Forever Family Foundation. And I think that's really great because they're geared towards people who are going through grief or who don't understand something or need some assistance. And I think that's really, you know, beautiful to be able to do that.
Oh, I think so too. And I remember being at one of the conferences and observing a couple there that they could hardly make it through an hour or certainly not a day. It was just so they were in such grief, they could hardly function. And a medium was there who got in touch with their son. And also at the same time, the son of another couple who was there, their child had been dead, had passed over much earlier. And those two had gotten together on the other side. This medium brought those two children together and brought them through to that family.
Well, that one was the girl, the daughter. I remember that story.
Yeah.
Her, and, yeah, I remember the daughter, her name was Jessie.
Yes.
Yes.
And, to see what that, the work, the ability of that medium to do that totally changed their lives. We saw them at a conference later. They were like a different couple. So I think, you know, medium has a talent. They've developed a potential that we all have. But when we don't have that and we can go to a medium and get that connection, it's such a sacred connection. And one is forever grateful. That couple was certainly forever grateful.
It just that's just the start. That's just the start, Betty. If that might have helped them on there, but now they can make that intention and start connecting on their own.
Yeah,
and that's kind of where I was kind of going too, is that I think it's great, the mediums that can help. And I think that gets them going on that, in that direction. But then I also think then they realize they can have that connection. And then it opens them up to having a connection with their child. And I think that's really beautiful, that sometimes you have to take those different paths to get there, but they're there. And even though our loved ones are around us and, you know, the children are around, it's sometimes, you know, like you said, if you're in, you know, grief, you're grieving, sometimes you can't get there. And so it is good to have all this help from the different directions.
Yes, you know? I agree. Kim, you had something you were going to give before the last call.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Okay. Now, this was the story I read to you at a few minutes ago, that he had just come to accept his experiences as a normal part of his life and saw the both aspects, the grief and the sorrow and the joy, and the beauty of things that he was opening to and his wife was opening to. So, okay. So this is Dr. Jim May's story. His wife's name is Jane. And Amanda was their 20-year-old, so she was not doing well, and she was in the hospital. They were with her at her bedside. She went into cardiac arrest, so they were ushered out of the room, and they were walking down the hall, and a nurse came up and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I just saw an angel on your shoulder," and of course, he just hugged her, and it was just some kind of magical moment, and then yes. And then a few months after that, family and friends and students and teachers were gathering. I messed this story up.
That's okay.
Oh, no, that wasn't. Never mind. That's right. So I didn't mess it up. I just thought I messed it up. So then a few months later, she still wasn't doing well and was not really expected to make it at that point very long. So family and friends and students from her college and teachers and the near ones came in to be with her at her bedside, and the chaplain was there saying the prayer. And just at the moment he finished the prayer and said, "Amen," the mom whispered, "She's gone." So they were moved by the synchronicity of that, that they were all together. They were with her. And at the amen, she was,
oh, that's beautiful.
She was released from that, which she had viewed and they had viewed as kind of an imprisoned body, because whatever was going on with her was, was she wasn't going to live a life that she wanted to if she had survived. So Amanda had been cremated. And the first night that they were home with her ashes, the dad woke up at 3 a.m. and just felt the urge to go into the living room where her ashes were on the fireplace. And he
saw a beam of light bouncing off the walls. Mm-hmm. And he waited, and it happened again. So he woke up his wife. His wife's name was Jane. They sat on the couch together for 20 minutes, swirls of light all around the room, dancing along the walls. And they were looking inside for some light that was maybe going bonkers, or outside what was going on with the weather, any cars on the road. They could find no explanation. So for the first time in months, they felt peace, they felt calm, and they were able to get an amazing night's sleep. You know, beautiful. Just that was there. There were just lots of stories.
Yeah. Well, those things that when you experience, you know, when you tell about the lights, it's one thing, but when you experience that, it is, you're feeling the frequency and the transformative power of the light. And it makes such a difference. One thing in visionary experience that is often amazing, that I've had a few experiences in which it was quite a thing was taking place. And at the very climax of it, when it was over, finished, the music stopped.
The music stopped at the end of the experience. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, it's the synchronicity is very interesting.
Just like there was a completion.
It was a completion. How does that happen? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I want to tell another story.
Oh, yeah, good.
Now, this was from...
That was beautiful, Kim.
Oh, thank you. So Amanda's mom, Jane, was a little bit envious because the husband had been having some experiences and she hadn't. But then one time she had one. She was smelling this woodsy, citrusy fragrance, and it was so familiar, and she couldn't place it. She couldn't place it. And so in trying to process that, she went to the attic and started digging around. And so she found one of Amanda's childhood books, and it was Bambi in the Forest. And it was one of the scratch and sniff books. Oh. And so that's what she was smelling. That was pretty amazing. And so then Jim's thinking, oh man, I want one of those. So the first Christmas comes, and they're on the road trip heading towards a family time together for the holiday. And they had a ritual of singing over the river and through the woods too. And they filled in the auntie's name anyway. And then Jim started smelling this citrusy woodsy is what is going on. And then his other daughter, Meredith, did. And then Jane did. So they knew Amanda was with them. Somehow they were all having that sensory feeling of her right there. Times three.
So many different ways. When you experience it, you know whether it's that person or not. You know,
it was. I mean,
there's an energy in the fragrance. Yeah,
and she wasn't looking for a Bambi book. She just was in the attic digging around, and one day, it made sense what that was about and how personal it really was.
Well, and that's what's cool because you know it came to her on its own in a way, you know, and then she just found it and there it was. And I think that's true that how different experiences work like that for people, you know, something just happens and you see it or you experience it or feel it or see it or, you know, and that's why I think it's so profound to have any experience and to make sure you acknowledge it so that it keeps you open for the next experience. Because if we push it aside, sure, they'll come back, but it might be a little more work. But if we, you know, tell, you know, our loved ones, hey, thank you, I'm pretty sure that was from you, I know that was from you, then, you know, they're going to come through with something else for you. And you can make an intention. You know, I really believe that we can, you know, ask for something and say, we want to have that relationship with you. We wanted to go further. You know, what can you show me next? Or what can I experience next? And whether you get it in a dream or you see it, you know, in front of you in some way, I mean, that's what's so cool about it is it's all around us. All we have to do is notice and pay attention or ask and know that we're connected to our loved ones, know they're there, you know, and I think that's really cool with that because everybody was experiencing the same thing. Like you said, a shared experience, cool is that, you know, it's really cool.
Oh, it's like those group visions that sometimes people have when they're out on a vision quest or on, you know, doing ritual in some place with
really
intention
true.
Set forth.
Yeah, I was just thinking about when I was in South America, right on Lake Titicaca, the sacred mountain, and we were working with sacred medicine, but with the shamans, and suddenly I saw these people running across the mountain. Now, mind you, there was no one. there but the few people in our group and no one else. And suddenly there were so many people on the mountain, and we saw shamans sort of lifting their staffs. I even saw a dog running down the hill, down the mountain. Mm-hmm. And I also saw, I looked to the left and I saw a being of light step off the mountain and walk through the air. And when I saw that that being was walking toward our fire circle, I guess I lost my courage and looked away. I guess it was too much for me at that point in my life. But later I thought, well, did just I experience it? So later I talked with my friend who was there with me in the circle. And so I said, what did you see? Because I wanted to know what she saw before I told her. And she said, well, I thought it was so strange about that dog running down the mountain. And then she said, she talked about exactly the same image as I had had. And so the next day when I talked to one of the shamans, I mentioned about the light beaming. And he said, oh, yes, he comes almost every time we have that ritual. He comes in general. And then he talked about, and yes, he said, they come from another dimension. And I could see the shamans in our group were acknowledging the people that I was seeing on the mountain. Now, there was no they were from another dimension. And that was so amazing.
They weren't humans dropping off the mountain.
Wow. No, they were stepping off the mountain.
The winged beings, right?
Yes, he was.
You told me that.
And wow. And the interesting thing is, when I told this one shaman about that being, he was in South America when Arzan Bishi was in the hospital. And when I told him about that, and he said, oh, yes, he often comes. In fact, he said, when I was there doing a ritual for Bishi when he was dying, he was present. And what was funny is I saw that winged being at the foot of Pishti's bed with his wings over the bed. So it's just these things. It just, the synchronicities are.
Can't make this up.
You like can't make say. It up. But it's so healing when you begin to connect the dots and know there's something so vast, so sacred, and so loving. That's the world we live in, really, if we can just open
it up. Glasses on for the magical
that's
wonder.
That's right. It is
that surrounds
magical,
us.
Yes.
Well, and Betty, you made a really good point too when you were saying, you know, when you're in South America, because culture has blocked intuition in many places, you know, and in there it has not. And so there was open, which I think opens the door to more to come through, you know.
Yes, and it was one of those sacred places where people had been meditating for a very long time. So it had, you know, they would have said it has that frequency. Many things, in fact, one said to me, yes, this is where the veil is lifted.
I remember, I think you had written about it in The Miracle of Death, about something even in transit to that location where the group was going to be together. It's just something about the landscape even was healing and working your system to a different frequency in some sort.
Well said, Kim. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's just so
nature.
Many aspects of nature and spirit that work with us to help us.
And well, I would think that would, don't you think that opens the visualization as well? You know, I mean, you're wide open. Your third eye is probably pushed wide open because it is so sacred there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was still very much caught in the old university way of thinking, although I had always resisted it, so much so that when I saw all those people running across the mountain, I thought these shamans had probably gone into town and got some people to come. I mean, that's how bad the left brain can behave.
Give me a break.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then, though it didn't take long for me to go a little bit beyond that ignorance.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we really didn't have many callers tonight, so hopefully whoever's listening, they will want to call in next month.
That's
and,
right.
You know, get their, you know, share their experience, because everyone has one, and, you know, no experience is too small. We've had all kinds of experiences with people calling in, and, you know, just want to encourage them for next month to, you know, to please call in and share your experience, because it's really important that everybody, you know, gets to hear, you know, what someone else experiences, because it's like, well, you know, this person had that and this person had this. And it just kind of opens you up to, you know, thinking, oh, wow, you know what, maybe when this happened, I didn't realize it, but this really did happen. And I just keep thinking, oh, it couldn't have, but You know, it usually does. If it's not, if you have an experience and it feels differently to you, or a dream, you know, you have a lot of times people dream. I mean, that's really amazing too, what can come through. And sometimes there are even, you know, dreams of premonition of something happening. And that's always interesting too. So you never know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's why the show is one of the reasons it's so important, is that when people call in, we begin connecting the dots and realizing how much we really are connected with each other to that world.
That's so true.
Is that true, Kim?
No, we still have about 6 minutes, probably 5 minutes or so before it will lead us in the prayer. But I have another good story that I read today. It's a short and sweet one, if you wouldn't mind hearing one more.
Sure.
This one's also from Afterlife Encounters. So this is a woman named Linda. And Linda had a fiance when she was back in her 20s, and she was age 35. So, and at 35, so her fiance was killed in an accident at age 20 in 1961. So 35 years later, Linda had been going through several surgeries and underwent chemo for a rare form of cancer. And during one of the surgeries, her heart stopped for 3 minutes. And she said she didn't recall anything medically, but she remembers having a wonderful dreamlike experience. She was in a beautiful place and Wayne was there. And they both looked as they did when they were in their 20s. But he told her, "Find out the truth about how I died. My military record is not accurate." And he gave her some names of men who would know the truth. He says, "I'm not dead. I've just passed on to another level. I've never left you." So she was a little hesitant about making inquiries. And she had asked around with some of the friends that they knew and didn't get information. But little by little, she was able to track down these four people, as well as Wayne's sister, who had ordered a copy of the autopsy report. So it was learned that the autopsy was inaccurate, that and what happened to him was corrected.
Oh, wow.
And so she said, "But ever since that encounter, I have felt so much peace about death, and my entire attitude about life has changed. I'm a much more loving mother." And so anyway, just having that. And what was interesting is it was something out of the blue about something she knew nothing about, his history, and hadn't had any contact with him since he had passed, 25 years early or 20 years early.
Wow.
But yeah.
You never know.
Something's
going on when it's outside your range of thought processes, so to speak.
Yeah. Another one of those kind of evidence of stuff that you're told that you had no knowledge of, and then the truth bears out.
Yeah.
And that was kind of amazing.
Oh, that is amazing. And I love when there's something like that, when there's some kind of evidence or, you know, something that shows and gives you kind of like I always like, you know, as a medium, when I was doing readings, to do, ask for double validations. And sometimes I still do that, is like, you know, I'd like a double validation. And sometimes, you know, it's really amazing when I'm like, okay. And then you get something else and you're just like, wow, how did that happen? Wow. You know, and I think that, you know, for her, she had gotten a total validation with, you know, the information that was given to her. So that is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's always comforting. I mean, the left brain does provide good information, you know, and when it can be satisfied, that gives us another level of convincing, really.
Yeah. Or when you receive information you know nothing about, there's no way you would have heard it but from that deceased person. Then you can check it out with the person time and space here and think, oh my gosh. Jen, that kind of cracked me up. I asked for double validation. Give me a triple.
That's good.
And for her too, just like what that did for her and the awareness it created for her and the change in her whole life. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about it, that, you know, that one experience can change your whole life like that. So, I mean, that's pretty powerful, you know? Okay. Well, are we ready then? Okay. I think Betty and Kim's speaker somehow went off, but I will go ahead and I will say the Mahayama prayer.
Yes, Janet, we're here. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't know what happened when I was clicking to chat to tell you something.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say the Mahayama prayer.
Thank you.
May all beings everywhere, with whom we are inseparably interconnected, be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you, Janet.
Absolutely.
I love that prayer.
I do too.
Thank you. Thank you to all our listeners. We send you good vibes and well wishes and hope you join us next month and give us a call.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.